In the name of Jesus, amen. So every once in a while, pastor likes to preach on something that's not according to the pericope system. Hope that's okay. Except for I didn't tell the sound booth about it. Sorry, I was going pretty fast on Thursday, but our sound booth, they're such a great group of guys that. Thank you very much, brother. So I want to read to you, the post-resurrection accounts of our Savior. I mean, all the Bible's good, right? But if you really want to focus on a portion of the scriptures that will just help you understand that every day is Easter, it's the post-resurrection accounts of our Savior's life. The 40 days he keeps making appearance before he ascends to the right hand of the throne of God. And it's just so cool. And I want to read this to you. Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
So this is Luke chapter 24, verse 13. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Clopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he said. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see." He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have said. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" And so Luke comments, "And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. So, okay, so how often do you go through the day kind of like this? How many ways are we just like the disciples long ago? I mean, they're just doing what they can do, and it's hard, and it doesn't make sense. And the latest thing that they thought would really be of benefit was of no benefit, and they're just worn out. May as well go home. And that's the way it is. How many ways? How many ways do we assess things and say, well, that was our hope and it hasn't worked? How much of what you watch on TV is the shoulda, woulda, couldas? Or if the onlys, we had the right leader, or we had the right group, or we had the right this and that and everything underneath the sun. How many ways do we just feel like it's a day late and a dollar short and it's not going to work? And so we just go through this. Notice what the disciples are doing. They were discussing everything. They were regurgitating the same bad news. How it didn't work and how this is the way it is and I guess this is the way it's going to be. And so they just went home. They discussed everything. But hallelujah, Christ is risen. See, Easter is out of the box. And you know, every day's Easter. It's so hard to remember that, isn't it? Amen. I mean, a lot of times it just seems so hard. And we're just dragging our way through the day because there's so much going on. But Easter is alive and kicking. Our Savior is risen and reigning. And these post-resurrection passages are so powerful. They are so comforting. So they're dragging back home, discussing everything. I'm sure it's just getting harder and harder to go forward because they're preaching really stinky sermons to themselves and each other. And then who shows up? Jesus. And they don't see it at first. And then he says, "What you talking about?" I mean, isn't that cool? He wants them, I mean, he knows, but he wants them to talk. He wants them to share what's going on. He invites them. And Clopas, what? Well, you're just a visitor? You don't know what's going on? I mean, they're so lost in their loop of thought. Everyone knows what they're thinking about and talking about, right? Except for this guy. Who must be a visitor, who doesn't get it. You mean you don't, what, you a visitor? I mean, it's almost like saying, what, are you stupid? Everybody knows about what happened. Well, why is he doing this? Because our resurrected Savior wants us to share with him what's going on. He really wants to hear. He's not playing a game with them. And after he gets scolded, What, you a visitor? Like, oh, what's wrong with that? Clopas. It's called attitude, right? He says, it's so cool. He says, what things? I mean, he really wants to hear what they have to say. You know, whatever has you stuck in a loop, whatever is just battering and smashing you, is what Jesus wants to hear from you. What things? What's interesting is now we have two people. It's the plural. It's like they sing this sad, sad song together. They've rehearsed it so well with each other that they can say it to Jesus together. And so Luke makes it a point to say that they said, so they said that whole thing together. He was our hope. Everything has happened. He was handed over and now we're going home because we don't have any hope. They needed to get it off their chest. They needed to just simply say, this is what... And you know who knew that? They didn't know that. Jesus knew that. And he invited them to. But then he scolds them. Why are you so slow to believe what you learned in Sunday school? Right? What you learned in all the Bible studies you attended. Why are you so slow to believe what you've heard from the prophets about the Christ? Wasn't he supposed to die? And then Luke says, beginning with Moses, he opened up the scriptures to them. What did they say later on? How our hearts were burning as he talked with us on the road to Emmaus. It is so cool to think that Easter tags along and wants to listen and hear. That's what love does. You know, when he got scolded by Clopas, he didn't say, fine, I'll go walk with some other people. Right? He stayed with them. He's so patient with us. So loving with us. You know, I just thoroughly enjoy this post-resurrection account because this is my life. I don't know how many times and how many ways I've wanted to just give up and give in and go home and throw in the towel and say, what's the use? But what's so cool for us is the Lord doesn't settle for that. He doesn't settle for our conclusions and our shoulda, woulda, couldas and our what's the use. Because Easter's out of the box. And he has all kinds of plans for us, for you and for me. Because he loves us. And he cares about us. And he has more in store for us than we understand. It's so cool. So he scolds them. And sometimes I just need to be scolded by the Lord. Sometimes I need to be scolded by the Lord through others. Right? The Lord at work in us, through us, to touch the lives of those around us. But it's always done to help our faith. And that's what Jesus is doing. And then they get to Emmaus. And he acts like he's going to go further. Oh, stay with us. Stay with us. I just thoroughly enjoy that picture. I had a huge one like that on my wall in California. I bought it for $5. It was like, you know, 6 feet by 3 feet. That was huge. Maybe not that big. I don't know. It was big. You know, $5. Had this big study, so it actually fit in it, you know. And it was kind of like at almost the second story because of the pitch of the roof. And they took it down after I left. But it's such a cool picture. Now, I've got a mini one for my study, and it's perfect. I can look at it right there. And that's us. The one who's Emmanuel, God with us. Tagging along. So they invite him to where they were staying, or maybe their home. And he sits down and eats with them, and then he takes bread and gives thanks. And he breaks it and gives it to them. What do we call that? Holy Communion, Eucharist, the Lord's table, the Last Supper. I mean, there's all kinds of names for it. And their eyes were opened. Epiphany. Ah, this is Jesus. We were slow to believe, you know. And what do? They turn around and go back to Jerusalem. What do you think the cadence of the trip back was compared to going home defeated? I mean, isn't it amazing how the Lord can put a spring back into our step? How many ways has he done it in your life? And there are places where you can say, Lord, help me. I'm battered and smashed. I don't know how to deal with this. I don't know how to deal with that. Lord, what should I do for them? What should I do for him or her or them or at work or at school? Or how do I make it through this issue or that issue? Lord, you're talking to the right guy. And this is what Easter means. Easter means you can expect heart moving and strength reviving joy from Jesus. And it might be that it's when you're just at the end of your rope, you'll find out that that's where he lives. And he can change it. Think about what he did to the disciples long ago. We heard that first reading that Dr. Certain read to us. And those guys aren't going around like this anymore, are they? No. And they're not trusting in themselves nor their power. What did Peter say? Not by our power or piety does this man stand before you healed. It's in the name of Jesus and the name of Jesus only. So in your life and my life, it's not about our skills, knowledge, and abilities. They're great. It's about how we submit them to Jesus and then carry them out in his name and his strength, trusting him and not the outcome. And that's what makes us bold, so that we can talk with our grandson or our own family or our spouse or our neighbor or face school differently or go to work with a different spring in our step. To be sure, there's challenges everywhere. And to those places, Jesus takes us so that we can make a difference as his own. You know, I say this so often, but it's not about those disciples anymore. It's about these disciples. You, disciples of Jesus. But it's about being who you are and how God has lavished you with love. And maybe there are times you just say, Lord, just lavish me with your love so that I can be what you want me to be. But that's what it's about. Because Easter is tagging along wherever you go today and wherever you go tomorrow and throughout the week. So expect great things from our risen Savior. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. Alleluia. In the name of Jesus, amen.